story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast. The Man.
You gotta beat the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki? Is it? It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we're sort of pulling away from Game 4 of the American League Championship Series, but hey, if I can't watch it, none of you can, so. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, also brought to you by OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Folks who click Wrestle, where you can find wrestling on demand. Our 800 number is 877-588-9877. That's brought to you by UndergroundRadio.com. And tonight, no Mace. Mace is off on a spectacular adventure with the new job endeavor, which we're very happy to hear him say, but we'll mention his podcast later on in the show. The Spud Guy may or may not join us tonight. We'll see what he's up to. Music tonight is brought to you by four very nice, lovely gentlemen from a country called Ireland. Now be Paul Houston, David Evans, Adam Clayton, and Larry Mullen Jr. Well, actually, let's try that again. Paul Houston you know as Bono, David Evans you know as The Edge, not the wrestler, and Clayton and Mullen, that is the Irish rock group U2. If you've never seen them in concert, get your butt off a couch, and if they come to your town, check them out. They put on one of the most amazing concerts you'll ever see. You got to see them at the St. Pete Times Forum a couple years ago. And it was phenomenal. Tonight joining us are our very special contributors, also from the North, who will be updating me with Yankee scores. I know we're losing 2-1. Damn you, umpire. That was a fair ball off the pole. But, hey, they have a really cool blog on the PoughkeepsieJournal.com website. It's known as Under the Ring. Please welcome Phil Strum and Kevin Scott, who are here tonight. Kevin will be with us only for the first hour, because we're going to open a show instead of talking WWE. We're going to talk about what has possibly been the weirdest 2 weeks of a wrestling fan's life, Kevin and Phil, if you are a TNA wrestling fan. So first, we'll say hello to the gentlemen, let them get their intro in, get their baby face pop in.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kevin Scott.
Hey, guys, it's Phil Strum. How's it going?
Yeah, I feel like we're doing like an audio commentary on a movie. I'm Alan Wojcik, I'm the director and writer, I'm the guy who got the coffee. This has been probably one of the wackiest weeks or 2 weeks in wrestling. And we'll backtrack to the pay-per-view itself, which led to this Thursday's event. And around the pay-per-view, or just a little bit after it, Kevin, you had a very long, in-depth blog on the current state of TNA wrestling. And without going into every single word that was used, just give your feelings on what you witnessed last Sunday or a week ago at Bound for Glory 2010, because we heard what Mace and Spug gave, and they were very articulate and very vicious on WrestleTalk Live, sorry, WrestleTalk Radio on the Sunday night after the pay-per-view. And in a couple minutes, the Spug guy will join us. But, Kevin, go ahead. Since you're the main of the two gentlemen that are on the line with us, you focus on TNA more than anyone else in the Northeast. Give your overall assessment of that pay-per-view and what TNA did right and wrong.
Hey, one, the fact that I focus more on TNA than anybody else really hurts my soul. The thing with TNA, and I harp on this a lot, it sounds redundant after a while. They have all the pieces to the puzzle. They're just not sure how to assemble it. And they tried really hard in order to get pretty much nowhere. The pay-per-view itself, there was a lot of good. Some of the matches were quality matches. They had this propensity to overbook the important ones, aka the main event usually, where a simple... You know, maybe not even a clean finish, but a simple heel turn would be one thing. But they need to pull out every trick from the book, from WCW's playbook, which is also my biggest issue with them in terms of the company that they are today. They have no identity. They are redoing storylines that were kind of ridiculous 14, 15 years ago, and they just seem to be running in place and that place is quicksand. I don't see how this company is going to be around much longer, at least on the level of having any hope for a bright future. They'll be around till the money runs out. I'm sure that they'll, you know, be a slow death. I'm not really calling that it's actually going to die anytime soon, but a part of me kind of wishes it would, because it's such a shame to watch the company the way it is today compared to the company that I fell in love with 8 years ago.
Phil, you have interviewed folks from TNA over the past couple of years, and we'll get into that during this opening hour, because you had an interesting experience with TNA's media. But overall, your experience from watching Bound for Glory, and we'll get into Impact in a minute, but your overall thoughts on what you witnessed on the pay-per-view itself.
I have not bought a TNA pay-per-view since Samoa Joe's hurt ankle, so I actually didn't see Bound for Glory, but I've read, you know, pretty much everything about it at this point, and you know, the recapping on Impact is good enough too, because they don't actually show you any wrestling on Impact. They'd rather recap and talk. But Jeff Hardy is your lead heel, just reeks of desperation. You know, reading some of the people's takes on that is that they were unsure whether to do, you know, make RVD the heel or Jeff Hardy. RVD would make no sense at all, since he was the guy that got bludgeoned by Abyss. You know, they really have to stretch on that. And then, you know, putting Jeff Hardy in the supergroup, you know, he looked in that ring the next night, and, you know, there's like 25 people in this group, it felt like. And the lead guy is supposed to be Jeff Hardy, who's probably the worst promo of anybody in the ring. You know, how do you do that? I mean, it all comes back to TNA's biggest problem is that they have one of the best wrestling rosters that's ever been assembled, yet they want to book nothing but talking because the people who are writing the show can't have any control over the wrestling while it's happening. All they know is how to write dialogue, and it's a real big stretch to say that they even know how to do that. So, I mean, as I said, I didn't see the pay-per-view. You know, as Kevin said, it sounds like there's some very good things on it, and it sounded like there were some things on it, and, you know, but for a show that's supposed to be your company's WrestleMania, I guess I expected a little bit more.
And here's the funniest part. We're going to bring the Spud guy in a second, because we're going to get into what we all witnessed this past Thursday night. And yes, Spud watched TNA wrestling, so mark it, dude. He actually watched it. Before we get into the show, this is a pretty amazing number that I'm about to give you. This came from the folks in Nielsen Media Research. Hi, Melissa Shook. TNA Impact on the 10-14 edition scored a 1.9 million viewers, which is the highest since their January 21st edition, which had 1.93 million viewers. So maybe what we're about to say for the next few minutes, Bug, means jack crap, because it looks like people tuned in possibly to just see the fallout of the show that we've been talking about and you and Mace address. Before, like, instead of going into every single bit, just to hear that number, you know, is this a situation of people tuned in at least to see the opening hour, or people, or what are you thinking when you hear a number like that?
That's why I watched it. I watched it to see what was going to happen. I really did. But I will say this, Phil is absolutely right. They have way too much dialogue. I literally turned Impact on, watched for about 15 minutes, and had to go put the daughter to bed. Walked back in at 9:35 Eastern time, and the opening promo was still going on.
Oh, God.
They wasted 35 to 40 minutes of a two-hour show on dialogue and a promo.
And that's amazing. And before, let's get into the, let me throw this out to the three of you first, and Spug can see this because it's in our chat, thanks to Sir Rockin'. Quarter one, this is the quarter hour ratings. It opened, the show opened with a 1.35, which was Eric Bischoff arguing backstage, and Eric and Hogan come out, everybody comes out. Second segment was the promo, the alliance thing with Hogan, Nash and Sting, Dixie Carter showing up, Nash and Sting leaving, you know, all of that. Like I said, and amazingly enough, and I type out kind of scratchy notes. And at some point during my scratchy notes, I actually wrote, opening four segments are all talk. My friend Sean, who, his nickname is Lars. If you're a fan of his, you've been to TNA events, you've been on TNA's message, fan message boards over the years, you'll recognize the name of Lars. He attended this event, guys, and somebody was sitting next to him. I wish I had coined this, but I didn't. I want it on a t-shirt. Turned to him and said, "Welcome to total non-action wrestling."
Well, I just want to chime in, this is Phil again, real quick. Just, what's interesting about that rating from TNA is that, as you said, as you look at the numbers as the night wore on, they started with 2.1 million viewers at the beginning of that show. And by the end of the 2 hours, which, by the way, of course, they cut off in the middle of the main event of the show, because, you know, God forbid you make people watch your wrestling show to get talking and watch your talking show to get wrestling. But by the end of Impact, they were down to 1.6 million viewers. So how do they lose that many people over the course of 2 hours? Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we?
Well, I want to say it's kind of like with movies when they come out, where you have like a big comic book movie where it might not be a great sell, but you have the built-in audience that's going to get it $50 million the first opening weekend. It's the second week, and much like the right end of Impact or next week's Impact, that's going to really tell you if they had a big effect in terms of ratings. I'm going to say no. It's probably going to go right back down to normal.
So just everyone tuning in. Go ahead, Spud. I'm sorry.
I was going to say I tend to agree with both Phil and Kevin. You look at TNA, and it's unfortunate because way back in the day, I was a fan. I enjoyed it. I watched it. I loved Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Daniels and the like. I don't know if it was Kevin or Phil who said it, but they do have the best wrestling roster assembled today. They do. They have one of the best collections of talent. And to see guys like AJ Styles, Nigel McGuinness, standing in the ring while guys like Flair, Nash, Sting, and the like will talk for 45 minutes and refuse to let go of the spotlight, and that is only insinuation on my part. There's no basis in fact for that opinion.
Right.
It is disturbing to me because you have a product that could rival that of, I'm not saying it could beat WWE, but it could sure as hell give SmackDown a run for its money.
Well, that's been a thing we've talked about here.
No?
Let me just jump in for a second. That's something that we've addressed on the show, probably going back to even in January when they did the live event. If you and decided to go Monday, and then we all know what happened there. If you put a piece of paper down that's printed out and you look at the current TNA wrestling roster, your jaw will drop because on it, as you said, are viably some of the best bell-to-bell performers and talent in the ring. And as you mentioned, you have Samoa Joe, you have Nigel McGuinness, who's got wanted posters because we don't know where the hell he is. You've got AJ Styles. You've got, Jeff Hardy, who did a very good Chris Angel impersonation in his promo, which we'll address in a couple minutes. You've got Rob Van Dam. The list goes on and on. You've got tag teams galore, even though Team 3D is like, we want one more match so we can go out champs again. Yeah. But as you also said, Spug, and I'll address it back to the group. Look at who opened this show for 40 some odd. I honestly lost track of the time. I think, and Rock may have, it may not, that the opening hour of this show, actually the first match, I think, lasted 10 seconds, and it was a rerun of the Finger Poke of Doom with Madison Rayne getting her belt back, which, God, if I don't understand. But let's make sure we got who was in the ring when this show opened. The Immortals, everybody do your mini-me quotes, are Jeff Jarrett, Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Hogan, Bischoff, all of Fortune, I think SoCal Val possibly, just from being someone who opens the ropes and closes the ropes. The popcorn vendor outside by Twister the Ride is in this group. It's just mind-blowing that you had a show that opened, and it almost reminded, I happened to mention it to a couple friends when I went to an event this past Friday here in Tampa that I attend every week, and while we're waiting for they were setting the ring up and we're doing this and that and the other thing, one of the people turned to me and said, who was about my age, I'm 36 and proud of it, that it reminded them of a late 90s, early 2000 WCW Monday Nitro, where you would tune in, that was when they were doing the 3 hours, the fans remember that. At one point, Nitro was 3 full hours. You tune into Nitro, and if you saw anybody actually standing in the ring, let alone wrestling in it, you got damn lucky. So, to the panel, we'll go to Spug and work our way around. This is just pretty standard stuff now, it seems, that these companies open with a promo in the ring. But this just got a little ridiculous. It almost felt like I was watching a TNA talk show, Spug.
Well, that's unfortunate. It's extremely unfortunate. I have been, to a point, overly critical of this company since forever for the way that they handle their business. And I have called them on the carpet several times for the way they handle things. To continue to let Russo, Bischoff, and the people in the back shove down our throats storylines from 1995 to 2001 because they think that we want to see a remake of WCW with a few new faces is absolutely asinine.
Well, to Kevin, you're like me. You've been watching this organization for the longest time to see a lot of people. I mean, to take what Spug said, yes, it's old, yes, it's new, because while you've got Flair leading this faction of Fortune, you've got pretty much the top talent in there of Beer Money and Douglas Williams and Matt Morgan, and Styles is mixed in there and Kazarian's mixed in there. But it's almost seeming like, yeah, you guys are great, but without Hogan and Jarrett and Jeff Hardy, who, it's amazing to say Hardy's an old guy in certain times, just from his TV landscape, because just think the guy has pretty much been on television going back to 96,
'96 the Hardys first came up to do dark matches. So pretty much since, I mean, there's got to be a point where, you know, the audience has got to go, what the heck? And I think the audience is still going, what the heck? That you've got all those people in that match. You had Anderson, who is one of a very good heel. Angle has proven he can be a heel. Look at the Main Event Mafia. Was this just boredom on the roster, on the writers' parts, to go, all right, I got an idea. Take all our bad guys, I'm going to put them in this big group called Immortals, and we're going to make Jeff Hardy the bad guy. Now, even though WWE's doing this, boys, who cares, because we're still going to be better. Yay!
There are 3 points that I guess come out of this. The first one is that at a certain point, the young guys have to show charisma. They have to show that they can actually take the ball and run with it. You have AJ Styles, who I think everyone says should be the face of TNA. The guy has all the tools outside of, say, Mike work. The thing, though, with him is that he's now stuck in this massive, heels where he's not nearly a focal point. He obviously should be. Same thing where you can go with, Anderson. You know, he's also been pushed to look like a legitimate star. And it gets in the way of, saying dirty words that makes him popular with fans. But they haven't really done anything to make him really special yet. Then you have the rest of, Immortals, what we're calling them now, Beer Money, great tag team, or throwing great matches. To me, this still, lackeys or henchmen, for a better word. It's really, it comes to the point where they have to not only put on great matches, but learn how to connect with their fans. And they do on a level, but not nearly where they should be at this point in the game. In terms of the older guys, yeah, obviously nostalgia factor is going to be there. I love Hulk Hogan. I've been Hulkamaniac since I was a kid. But at a certain point, yeah, it's kind of sad to watch him hobble around the ring, granted whether or not the crutches were, work, whatever. But it's old. It definitely is old. We've been watching it for decades now. You have these storylines that are not even just complete remakes. They're just ingrained in our soul at this point because we've been living it for so long. But the big thing is that they got 2.1 million viewers at the beginning of the show. People obviously want to see this. I realize that if they have that appeal to it and that's why they're running with it, I get that. But if they want to have a future, if they want to have their own identity, they're going to have to start cutting the umbilical cord and let these young guys show, shine through. They have to, go back to the board. Sonny's got some, it doesn't have to be original storyline, but at least something different, some kind of variation on it. Let the actual wrestlers get in the ring, and I don't know, this might sound crazy, wrestle. Put on a wrestling show, that's what it is. With the impact of his past, the second segment did start about, I believe, 9:42. It was the Finger Pointed to remake. You had the next real wrestling match started, I think, 7 minutes after the show began. And it only lasted about 3 minutes. That was the brawl between Samoa Joe and Abyss. That wasn't even advertised whatsoever. You have to figure out how to make these guys look like stars. They might not be able to do it themselves at this point, but you have all this talent in the world where you do have the Hogans, you have the Flairs. They should be backstage with these guys, teach them everything they know. I have absolutely no idea how, especially AJ Styles, hasn't picked up on it on things yet. I'm at a loss for words when it comes to that.
Well, for Phil, this is an organization. We'll bring WWE in there for a second. You look at the backstage here at TNA Wrestling and compare it to WWE's. In WWE, you've got Ricky Steamboat and Arn Anderson, Rotunda, on and off, Ted DiBiase was there, Blackjack Lanza on and off, then there, Pat Patterson on and off, then there. Here in TNA, it's Simon Diamond, Terry Taylor, Talent Relations, D'Lo Brown, Al Snow, on and off. Scott D'Amore's been there for years, on and off. Dutch Mantel was there. Is this just, I'm clinging to my spot type thing, like Nash was saying. Nash is basically saying he was done with his run, and Sting seems like he's done with his run. Is this the same old situation of, I'm not giving up until, you know, they're going to have to take me out. Almost seems like Hogan's going, that everybody, Hogan's trying to turn out for Terminator 5 when it comes out, because now the guy's got a spinal stimulator in him, and he's got hips and everything. I mean, take us through this. For someone who deals with mainstream media and has covered mainstream sporting events, I mean, you've covered Met games and you've covered other sporting events, how long is too long for some folks to hang around?
I don't necessarily think it's a problem with the talent. I think the responsibility lies completely with the executives of TNA, the Carter family, and with the creative team, because every veteran that's ever worked for TNA that I've either interacted with or, you know, read interviews with or everything like that, they want to help this company, and they want there to be a viable place for the boys to be able to go. And I can't put it on the road agents. I don't know what they're doing day to day. But, you know, one important role that the WWE does have backstage, and it's something that Gerald Briscoe did for many years, and then, well, when he suffered a stroke, they struggled with it a little bit, was timing the shows backstage, figuring out how long each thing needed to go, and figuring out where all the breaks were going to be. And now they have Billy Kidman actually backstage doing that for them now, and you know, it makes sense. You know, it's like, you know, this is going to be this certain amount of time, then we're going to go to commercial. You know, it seems like a very simple concept, but watching that Impact show on Thursday, I was 90 minutes into the show, and I made the mistake of watching it late at night, which made me even more angry, but 90 minutes into the show, all we had was that incredibly long opening segment, a finger poke match which lasted 10 seconds, a 2-minute disqualification, and then finally we get a match in the ring, but it's a 5-on-1 handicap. Who comes up with this garbage? Like, how do you get to that point where you're literally over, and then by the time the show is over, you've seen almost no wrestling, and then the show goes off the air in the middle of the main event? How does that make any sense to anyone?
We'll try to make sense of it. As we mentioned, PoughkeepsieJournal.com, you can go to the sports section area, and in the lower right corner, you'll see a very handsome young man with Under the Ring under his name. That would be Phil. We are on My World of Wrestling Radio. Coming up after the break, we will address the Jay Wow, Wobo, whatever the heck her name was, appearance, and what Randy Orton, of all people, has to say about watching TNA Impact. We'll be back after this commercial break on My World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks of U2 tonight.
Hey everyone, this is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Consider the professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips. Only a month look away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Fishes,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr.
Christian Cage. Brett Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemming.
Jay Lethal.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the Thanks for Pro Shoes. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Bashing the Books. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of WildTalkRadio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, 877-588-9877 is the way to join us on the show. You hit the option number one, and you will get involved in the program. Kevin Scott and Phil Strum of Under the Ring are with us tonight. Bug has joined us as well from Wrestle Talk Radio. You can hear on this network on Sunday night at 10 o'clock. You can also be heard tomorrow night during Otaku Talk Live, which is 9 p.m. Eastern.
Which I will not be there for tomorrow.
No! Damn. Do you have a guest host?
It'll be Mason Omega, but it's a self-imposed suspension.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, before we get into other aspects of the show, we need to address the $15,000 woman, and that would be the MTV reality, use your finger quotes around reality star, Jay Wow. Which, when you see her come out to the ring, you go, they spend 15 grand on that. I'm sure a Heidi Fleiss girl back in the 90s would have cost you less and looked better looking. This woman came out to the ring, did a little bit, grabbed Becky Bayless, who you know is Cookie in the show, and almost gave her a grade one concussion. Way to go, TNA, for teaching your celebrities how to get involved. She came out to the ring with the Beautiful People, who now actually own the Beautiful People name. Instead of going to, oh yeah, court, we decided to do it on a TV show. Now, I have no problem with Rob Echoes or Rebecca Treston, also known as Becky Bayless, for doing this character. It got him gigs. I'm happy for him. They'll get action figures, trading cards. Maybe Becky will get a hairline product thing. But to Spug, who's been in the ring
and is going to WrestleMania possibly this year, where there'll be celebrities all over. This chick, for one appearance that I think maybe mastered, if you took the bits and pieces of her walking around the building with the beautiful people and then actually getting in the ring, I think maybe averaged about 5 minutes tops. Can you and I get a gig where we get 15 grand for doing 5 minutes? I mean, your thoughts on this girl even being on the show, let alone in the ring, and looking like she injured Becky Bayless. We're not 100% sure. That was just what the initial medical folks said at the show.
I would like to drop a tactical nuclear missile on the state of New Jersey. Well, not, yeah, the entire state.
Yeah, the two gentlemen from New York are cheering silently.
And I know they're not from New Jersey. They're from
New Yorkers.
And yeah. And typically, Alan, you can attest to this, I hate most New Yorkers too.
Yeah, we love you too.
just for my undying hatred of the Yankees.
Tied it to.
Yeah, go Rangers, baby. But still, she's not that hot. She has no business being in a ring, especially if she hasn't taken some sort of course. As hard as, you know, as dumb as that is to say, you know, most celebrities who get in there and bump around for a few minutes at least went through, you know, a 1 day, 8 hour seminar with a few people to kind of get the gist of it. This chick gives a worker a grade one concussion and gets paid 15 grand for it.
Amazing.
15 grand!
Yeah, now, before we go to the other two gentlemen, let's just think about this for a second. There's women on that TNA roster like Sarita, Sarah Stock. The beautiful people probably are going to pull that in with... Now, that's like indie dates and everything for a lot of these girls, though. And this one walks in the door and, oh yeah, instead of booking her segment earlier in the show, you booked her when she's on right opposite her Jersey Shore show, which is going to get way more ratings than your show. I mean, so you two gentlemen are in the New York media market somewhat. You're a little north of the city, Phil, but you're in the number one TV media market, and this is what they do? Instead of booking her at like 9:50, you booked her at 10:20-something when everybody that would want to see this girl are already watching Jersey Shore?
Yeah, it really didn't make very much sense. And the one thing that I took out of Impact with the JWoww appearance on it was just any positive media or positive buzz they might have gotten out of her being on that show, if anyone watched that show, they would be completely turned off to watching it again. It was a terrible show. You know what, I can't blame her for taking the money, because, you know what, sometimes wrestling is stupid and overpays celebrities. It happens a lot. Like, where, you know, and I'll say she was a better in-ring worker probably than Jenna Marasca of Survivor, but she wasn't quite Maria Menounos when she guest hosted Raw and wrestled in that six-man that time.
Oh, that Maria Menounos walked back out of here. She's way hotter.
Yeah, yeah. But, like you said, you know, I'm happy for the two, you know, Robbie E. and Cookie to get this spot, because they've both been around a long time. They've both been working hard to try to get, you know, any break they can get in the wrestling business. But, you know, $15,000. All those women in TNA, like you said, they're all doing indie shows on the weekend because they don't get booked regularly on the TNA house shows. They only take, you know, maybe one women's match per show. And if there's only two shows going on, well, you're not working then. You have to go find an indie gig or an autograph signing or, you know, selling your wares on eBay. So it's like for somebody to walk in and get that, it's like, eh. But, you know this, Alan, too, because, you know, I'm sure they take Johnny Fairplay really well when he came in. And he's not a woman, but he wasn't wrestling. He wasn't really wrestling much there.
And he was an absolute jerk to meet in person. Kevin, you've been involved in some acting over your lifetime and doing being in the limelight. I'm not even sure, which I think the Jersey Shore kids probably pull a think, according to one article I read, they're pulling 10K maybe an episode of MTV. So, I mean, this is obviously, for fans that aren't in the know media-wise, this was a kind of a cross-promotion deal since Spike TV is a part of the CBS family, which is a part of the Viacom family, which also owns MTV. But if you tune in to MTV, I sincerely doubt you saw any, what are those things? Oh, yeah, commercials! Or billboards, other than the Hulk Hogan one outside Penn Station, brother. Or wherever it was in the city. I mean, you mentioned in your column about the marketing of this company. Is this another fumble ball in there?
This is pretty much their M.O. They, like I said, in the column I wrote, Dixie Carter first joined the company as a marketing consultant. I have absolutely no idea how she got a job as a marketing consultant, considering that they don't promote their product whatsoever. Yes, I appreciate her use of Twitter. I appreciate that they do have Facebook pages for a lot of the top guys, and they try to get the fans involved with that. But, yes, commercials, advertising, getting your name out there. Most people that I know, when they hear TNA Wrestling, they think it's a little bit of an adult entertainment pay-per-view coming on TV or something. The name's silly, but even with the silly name, if you let people know about your product, they can get over that. I think with the J-Wow segment especially, as you mentioned, it is kind of ridiculous that it aired during the second hour of the show, directly across Verona's show, which the whole point of bringing her in is that Jersey Shore gets 6 to 7 million viewers a week. And yes, as bad as the show was, I'll admit, I watch it. It's funny to laugh at people from Jersey. I appreciate that. But if you're going to go that far and pay the $15,000, which is the standard fee, that's what they get when they go to clubs and hang out. If you're going to go that far, make sure you're getting the most out of your money. I think my favorite part of the whole story was that she tweeted before the show started saying, catch me on Impact between 9 and 10. And then switch over to Jersey Shore at 10 o'clock. Now, that's hysterical to me. I've read numbers that like about 300,000 people made that switch. I don't know if that's accurate, but I would assume it probably is. They do get a lot of people watching the show, and it kills me to think that people tuned into TNA not only sat through the 40 minutes of just, I don't even know what to call it, but then they sat there waiting to see this girl. They did see a couple of brief snippets, get interested. But obviously they cared so little about the show and wanted to see Jersey Shore so badly, they switched over. And like I said, it all goes back to learn how to market your product. Make sure that if you are going to spend that much money on, and yet she is a legitimate star, as much as that hurts to say, make sure you can actually promote it in advance. Just a little thing right there. I think we all found out about it because we're on the internet, we do read things. The average person had no idea. That's TNA's biggest problem.
And we also, Spug brought this up earlier when we were in commercial break. We nearly had an ass kicking, and it had nothing to do with that J-Wow girl. It had to do with a nice little short guy who sits behind a headset. Your thoughts, Spug, on Taz? Nearly, your vantage point, you felt that Taz looked like it was, all right, I'm going to work this. Oh, hell, let's shoot, dude. For fans that don't know what we're talking about where Taz saved Kurt Angle from getting tossed around by Gunnar Murphy and Jarrett after being handcuffed. So Taz fan and former ECW fan and legit tough guy. He's training for MMA. So your thoughts on Taz getting involved. Is this the beginning of Taz coming out of the microphone and getting involved in this storyline, or was this just a one-shot for you?
Oh, dude, there was no storyline about that. That was legit. Jeff Jarrett was smidges away from getting his ass handed to him on his silver platter by someone who was legitimately way tougher than I am. I mean, Taz is not one of those individuals that you want to piss off or walk into in a dark alleyway.
or a hotel in Tampa, Florida, Green Day will walk in and you may knock him out. If you don't know what we're talking about, find an RF video of the Tabs did and he'll tell you. Someone who is being portrayed on TV as a tough guy, current WWE champion Randy Orton, got on the twit and actually says that he checked out TNA Impact this week only for the second time ever and shared his thoughts on the TNA product, kid. So let's get some milk and cookies and listen to the talk of Randy Orton. Samoa Joe can move. Miss working with Angle and Jeff. Could have done without the JWoww segment, though. I enjoyed the backstage stuff for the most part anyway. Something about the realness of the conversations between some of the talent was really well done. When a fan seemed surprised that Orton was praising TNA, Orton responded, "Who said that I do not like TNA? I surely didn't. I never approved of the eight-sided ring, though." Okay, I know it's eight, but cool. Competition is a good thing. Orton also put over the gentleman we talked about earlier, current TNA TV champion. Yeah, he's actually a champion. You just don't see him wrestling. AJ Styles, quote, "Never met him. Can do some amazing things in the ring. In my opinion, has a lot to do with TNA's early success." He finished with some comments about that guy. Anderson, who was outspoken against Orton following his release from WWE back in the day. Quote, "The only problem I ever had with Ken was him telling the internet that I used my pull," in quotes, "to get him fired. Not true, I have no pull. I don't twit, I never will twit. Kenny King said I can't. Phil and Kevin, I know you guys through the Under the Ring have some form of twit. Thoughts on Randy Orton? Is this like some PR person that works for Randy and he's like, go talk on Twitter like I'm smart? Or do you honestly think, kids, that Randy Orton actually watched Impact on the Thursday night?
It was probably him. I mean, I can't imagine why they have anybody else going and saying that they were watching Impact. Although they do seem a lot less afraid of the threat of another company now. It wouldn't surprise me, too, if it's only the second time he's watched it, because probably most of the time he's either doing stuff with his family or he's on tour or something else anyway, so it probably wouldn't, you know, be watching it. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me that the guys would watch each other. I mean, a lot of them are friends. I'm sure he has some friends that are in that locker room, too. So, that said, it does amuse me quite greatly that he hated the JWoww segment. That's actually funny that he went out of his way to say that. So.
Considering his love for the divas in the business, Kevin, he loves their luggage and wants to help them unpack and, you know, show them where the restroom is in case they can't find it on their own. He'll just do it in their luggage. For fans that don't know what we're talking about, find some friends that'll tell you the fun stories. But your thoughts on Randy Orton's comments on the twit and TNA?
I agree with pretty much everything you said. I do think that, you know, it's in everyone's best interest for, I hesitate to use the word competition, but at the very least, another company. I really have no problem with him coming out and saying what he did. The Ken Anderson stuff was a little interesting. I'm not sure how much I buy into that, but, the rest of it was pretty basic. Yes, Samoa Joe can move if he's allowed to actually wrestle. The JWoww segment was horrible. You know, AJ Styles should be, you know, a much bigger star at this point. And he is the reason why, they did have that initial success. I believe the TNA Asylum DVD that came out is pretty much AJ's greatest hit. So I totally agree. I'm on board with, what Orton had to say.
Bug is someone who has told me I need to twit. He has tweeted under some interesting names that legally we can't talk about because of national security, but your thoughts on Orton getting out there and talking?
Good on him. Dude, it's his time, you know what I mean? If he wants to watch another competitor's wrestling show and talk about it, in this day and age, it's going on Twitter is like going into a chat room, you know. And it was no mystery that back in the fledgling days of the internet, that wrestlers would go in there all the time.
Well, we saw, I mean, we saw Kevin Nash basically on, thanks to his Red Red Wine friend, he went on there too. So is there going to be a point where WWE and TNA's PR people pull the car over and turn around and look at them like parents and going, all right, this is what you're going to say. This is how you say it. Look what happened to Joey Styles a couple years ago. We shut him up because he took his Republican propaganda and took it to the net, and he battled with Jim Cornette. So don't make me take away your Twitter privileges, you little whippersnappers. Or is this the opposite of, like you just said, you know, go ahead, you have the freedom of speech, have a blast.
I think it's just that I think you guys need to use their Twitters wisely. You know, you need to use it for, you know, advertising yourself, as opposed to saying that you're going to have, like, the biggest coup in the history of your company every month on Twitter and then never delivering it. So,
what are you trying to imply there?
Oh, nothing. I mean, it's only been on Dixie's Twitter, what, like 8 out of the last 9 pay-per-views now? But, hey, you got to watch this pay-per-view. What was it, Tommy Dreamer once, I think?
It was every and the last one, her last big surprise was never unveiled, so we're still waiting for that one.
And apparently she's taken to the twit, and she's taken it to the kayfabe twist now, Kevin. She's actually running. She's running with the thing, with the storyline that she's no longer in power. Well, you are Shawn Michaels' moment of power, where she's actually pitching on Twitter that she no longer has control of TNA, that the Hogan Bischoff regime, as opposed to the McMahon Helmsley regime a few years ago, you know, are they're in complete control. And, I mean, are you okay with this, Kevin? I mean, you follow the Twit stuff. I mean, do fans actually go there and listen to Dixie's Twit, or are they just like, hey, look, Dixie twitted. All right, move on to the ping pong tournament.
I don't know how much of an effect it has, because the entire storyline that she's going with is just ridiculous. Anyone who has any knowledge of law knows that what in the storyline, what Eric Bischoff did when he had her sign her papers without really looking at it under false pretenses, that wouldn't hold up in any court of law whatsoever. So, I mean, yes, yeah, the logic aspect is really silly. The lawyer, well, I'm not sure I got his job. But it's a smart move in terms of, if you are going to keep doing the whole promoting your Twitter every 5 seconds on Impact, you might as well get your show over. I like that aspect. Granted, he took a long time between, you know, promising huge surprises without actually mentioning anything about, you know, this big show coming up. After Bound for Glory, her tweets were pretty much basically, oh, we had a nice day today. Nothing major outside of the, you know, in regards to the whole success, or as she would probably spin it, of the show. And then all of a sudden now she's doing the whole storyline thing. It's a little bit too late. I really don't think anyone's sitting on the edge of their seats reading her tweets, because she's not exactly somebody who I feel I'd be compelling. But at the very least, they are trying to do something. I have to give them some credit.
But she's not as intriguing as, like, an Ashton Kutcher or a Lady Gaga or these four trillion billion. I mean, doesn't the Dalai Lama got, like, a few billion people, too, on Twitter? But she's doing
it. I'm as intriguing as anybody. Like, Justin Bieber's fan club president probably has more people on, you know, the edge of the seat than she does.
I'm fine with the social network aspect of this, Phil, but it's a little hard for the internet wrestling community to honestly, as Kevin said, go into this and go, right, Hogan and Bischoff outsmarted a woman who, for the last decade before she's involved in TNA, owned a company called Trifecta Entertainment, which handled country acts and national for years. So, yeah, the country lady got swerved by the two wrestling people is basically what they want you as a wrestling viewer. Forget that we're all educated people. I'm a college graduate. Phil's got some education to him, being a product of New York schools. Same with Kevin. And Spug is a very articulate person as well. But they want us to buy that the country lady got beat by the wrestling people.
And a graduate of Ohio State.
Damn right. Go Buckeyes.
I love looking at it. I just looked up her Twitter while you guys were talking there. And just two of the last three, they're just absolutely wonderful. And one of them's unintentionally hilarious. It says Hulk and Eric, mostly Eric, have already run one company out of business. They will not do that to mine, no matter what they think. So why would you put that on Twitter? You basically say, we hired the biggest morons in the history of wrestling and have been running our company out of business. Why would you put that on there?
And someone has to see their camera. Yeah, and someone needs to teach their camera crew when you do a backstage thing with her husband getting punched out in quotes by Gunner or Murphy. Don't show the guy swinging and going nowhere within 5 miles of hitting Serge Salinas in the head. And Serge fell down. It almost reminded me of a story I heard of a battle royal where a guy thought he won the battle royal. He got hit in the back with a box of popcorn and was thrown in the ring. And he took a forward bump and went out of the ring. Come on, man. I'm stealing from ESPN, I know, with my come on, man. So I'm nowhere near Keyshawn Johnson in the Q rating of the world, but give me a break.
How's the other tweet that I really enjoyed? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, how stupid does Dixie Carter feel right now after hiring in Bischoff and Hogan and being convinced that a move in January to go up against WWE live on Monday night, the night that company carved out as their own. I mean, the only show that rivals them on that night is Monday Night Football, and that's only for 16 weeks. And then, you know, and now you have all of this, even if it's storyline playing out, you have this company that had a bright future ahead of it just being run into the ground. I mean, how dumb do you feel if you're Dixie Carter?
I don't even care if you're Dixie Carter, though.
Because you have the you're in it to make money, right? I mean, the basis of business is to make a profit, right?
Think, yeah.
You would think you can't. How are you going to turn a profit with this company? You can't.
They're claiming they are, but they don't do it very well.
No.
All right. At this point,
so many opportunities, but not at all.
At this point, before we go to break and let Kevin go, Kevin is available on Facebook. You have to find him under Kevin K. Scott, and you'll see a very dashingly young, handsome young man there. You say do you have a twit, or are you not a Twitter person?
I do have, but honestly, I don't use it, so just Facebook's good enough.
All right, and Phil will mention at the end of our segment again, like I said, PoughkeepsieJournal.com. Kevin shows up from time to time with his thoughts. Definitely go and check it out, Under the Ring. You'll have to go back, I think it's to the 13th or 14th in the calendar, and you'll find Kevin's information there. Coming up after the break, Phil's going to stay with us, Spug's going to stay with us, and we're going to talk all about the future endeavors that finally came to one Matthew Hardy, kids. You two taking us out here on Online Willow Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network isn't the place for anything goes. Prepare to be simple. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday night when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
This is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Carino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the Online World of Wrestling Radio with Al Mocha to Janiski.
Welcome back to the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, the folks who click Wrestle and undergroundradio.com. 877-588-9877 is the number to join us, option one, or you can Skype Sir Rockin'. Thanks to Kim Scott for joining us to give praise and lack of praise to TNA Wrestling. We're on a U2 evening, which of course Bug is mad, because later on we may or may not play Discotheque, but we didn't pick New Year's Day, because unfortunately that's one of the most overplayed songs by U2. There's nothing wrong with New Year's Day, Spug, but it's just overplayed, dude.
It's a great, it's better than Discotheque.
Well, we may or may not play it. It's on the list, but it may or may not be played. Now, what we're not going to do is when Daniel Bryan got his 90 days, we did a really cool 90-day clock for Daniel Bryan. However, I don't think after all the ranting and raving and YouTube videos and whatever the heck that little cat is, and a flicker camera, whatever. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Hardy got what Matt Hardy wanted. Effective October 15th,
Matt Hardy has been future endeavored. So let the 90-day clock begin, kids. Matt Hardy has basically, as mentioned with other folks, he is on the twit. He is twitter.com/... whatever that thing is on the keyboard. Matt Hardy brand all the way. What's up, all? I hope today is treating you good. I'm excited. Just heard the news and announcement I've been waiting for to happen shortly. Thank God, I swear, it's been harder for me to get released than it was to get hired. This is absolutely what I want. Now I can be me. I want to thank WWE for giving me the opportunity. I thank all the people and friends that helped me there, but I had to move on to be happy. I want to thank JR who hired me, Michael Hayes who taught me so much, and for Vince for letting me make a living and learn from him for 12 years. Where some of you make look at this as an ending, I promise you, this is the mother boop beginning for Matt Hardy. Cap letters, of course. Now I can create change. Now there's stories going around before we go to Phil and to Thug. Matt Hardy's release came shortly after he put up a YouTube video that he had previously recorded that showed Jimmy Wang Yang eating lunch with him and Ron the Truth Killings, R-Truth, and also some guy named Rey Mysterio. Now, the little problem with this video, guys, is Ray Ray got no mask on. Now, sources in the company believe that the video, among many other things, this past few weeks, on what led to his release, it should be noted that showing Rey Mysterio unmasked is a major no-no in WWE, because if you see him without the mask, the child labor law people would be knocking at the door and going, "You have an underage kid in the ring. What's he doing there?" And it's not the kid from the Knucklehead movie who was in the ring from Monday Night Raw last night. So, to Spug and then to Phil, do we really give a crap that Matt Hardy got his 90-day clock going? And do we care if he goes to TNA, ROH, or anywhere else? Should we care at this point?
I don't think you should care. Because it's only inevitable before he and the, before he and Jeff get back together and reform the Hardy Boys in TNA. Because you know it's going to happen.
So we'll see a heel, we'll see Matt Hardy version one all over again?
I could give a crap less, to be honest with you. I never really liked Matt Hardy. I mean, the Hardy Boys were kind of cool back in the day, but I was never into the Hardy Boys. Ever. Good on Matt. Good on Matt for doing everything he could do to get himself fired. What a way to endear yourself to the company that you may have to come back to once the company you're going to goes out of business in a couple of years.
And before we go to Phil, that is the funniest line of all this stuff. I have some friends, even my wife who's not into wrestling, read this one where he said, "Bang, I swear it was harder for me to get released than it was to get hired." That's just like the biggest slap to the organization you can give, Phil. It's like, yeah, I was here from, I tried to find it, Phil, and Rock maybe, Sir Rock and our producer may be able to help us, but I think it's at least since 97, 98, going back at least to some early years of Monday Night Raw, Matt and Jeff were there as enhancement talent. But what a way to treat a company all these years that have treated you really well.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was actually all the way back, I think, in 95, I remember him fighting Nikolai Volkov on Superstars when he was like 18. Because they snuck in when they were 18 and 16, Matt and Jeff, when they were trained by the Italian Stallion, Gary Sabaw, back in the 90s. You know, when they were looking for extra guys. I do not get Matt Hardy. I never have. I never really... I was kind of grown whenever he came out, and I was never really into him that much, but then he usually had good matches, so I just, you know, okay, that was pretty good. That was better than I expected it to be. But, I mean, I'm not going to speculate on all the different stuff that he did to try to get himself fired, but I think it's pretty evident by the changes that WWE made in their wellness policy while all this was going on, what they were, now that Somas are banned. It's just ridiculous. Like, okay, you ask for your release. They don't want to give it to you. They don't want you to go into the competition, and you're under contract. On your contract. Don't act like a moron. You know, cut and dry. Like, as you said, what does that tell you? Not even just to WWE if they're ever going to take him back, but, you know, for TNA to sit there and just look at this guy and be like, man, we really need him. Look what he just did to his previous employer. Why would you have any interest in hiring this man?
And it's pretty amazing. Now, he, as obviously said, his last appearances weren't exactly the greatest. He had issues overseas, being sent home. He's claimed intestinal issues. I feel bad for the guy that he lost his gig, but I don't, because, you know, you kind of did this to yourself, dumbass. You know, it's the same era of, you know, Michael Phelps and the bong and the cell phone. You're going to learn, kids, that all this technology spug is going to get your ass in trouble one way or another. Because every time you do something bad, 45 people are flicking out their iPhone or their Droid. And product placement, we'd love some money from Apple and Verizon. Send it our way at radio.onlinewrestling.com. But, I mean, yeah, he did this to himself. But if all this technology hadn't been around, Spug, none of us would even know what's going on in this guy's life. This guy seems like he can't go a day without sitting in front of a camera and talking.
Didn't we learn anything from Brett Favre?
Oh, yeah. Jet fans are rejoicing there, too.
Didn't we learn anything from that? I'm amazed at the amount of idiocy and arrogance in some of today's celebrities, to be quite honest. I really am. And not that Matt Hardy is any kind of extreme celebrity, but God, dude, you know, you make a comment like it was easier to get hired than it was to get fired from this company. And all I can think of is you're going to TNA. If I am the hiring manager at TNA and I looked at what you just did to your last company, like Phil said, why the hell do I want you here?
Because your brother's on the roster and your other buddies from Omega are there.
I don't care. Dude, you know, put it this way. One of my best friends tried to get a job at where I work, and I vouched for him. Okay? His very first day, he no-called, no-showed.
Ooh.
Very first day. So, to me, Matt Hardy throwing the, you know, doing everything he could to get fired proves to me that he really doesn't want to work. He just wants to be stupid and do whatever he wants to do.
So he's hoping the lack of a wellness policy. Well, there is some form of a wellness policy in TNA. We apparently found out some of the talent failed, and all they were told was, you failed. Don't do it again. So, and I don't see him doing the H like his brother is rumored to have done over the years, but heck. Let's move on, because he's gone for 90 days or 80-some-odd days, so bye-bye. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown last Friday and this past Monday were basically vehicles to set up this bragging rights pay-per-view that we're all going to watch this Sunday live, and then at 11 o'clock, Spug, Mace, the Omega, Tim Stein, possibly Will and myself are going to sit there and either praise it or kill it like we've done before. This show, let's go back to Friday for a second. And Phil had mentioned to me, dude, I watched 4 hours of wrestling in a row and it freaked me out. Friday night was basically the setup for Bragging Rights. And here's your Bragging Rights team. And if you saw Monday Night Raw, you know that your Bragging Rights team is Big Show, Rey Mysterio, and his big rival, Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger, Edge, Tyler Reeks, Rex, who's back from FCW prison, and Kofi Kingston. We're also going to get out of the Friday Night SmackDown show, we're getting a Buried Alive match with Kane and The Undertaker. Well, Buried Alive is one of the more amazing ones. You had one in a Survivor Series a while back with Vince McMahon and Taker, I believe it was. So, Your thoughts overall on the way, on the team itself for Team SmackDown, Phil? Are you happy with what they had? Because it looked like you almost had Caval, but he couldn't beat the Big Show. He defeated the Big Show in the 5-minute challenge, but then Tyler Rex gets the spot.
I don't really have any issue with the team. My major issue with this pay-per-view always has been, I mentioned to a friend of mine before, what the teams were and everything. He said, well, what's it for? What's on the line? And I said, you know what? I have no idea. It's for basically a cup. And I don't really know why they're doing a main event match with a bunch of people who have never been in a main event match before, on their main pay-per-view. And it's a pay-per-view on a pretty loaded sports weekend where you have the NFL, you have the baseball playoffs, and you have UFC going on all in the same weekend. As far as the team for SmackDown, you got, Big Show's a veteran, he's been around a long time. Edge, same deal. Ray, same deal. It was interesting to see Tyler Rex back, although, I kind of question if that's a smart way to debut him when he's going to get lost in a 14-man match. What is it, Alberto Del Rio? Yeah, okay. And then it's Colty and Swagger, who are guys that get stopped and started on, many times. I just don't see... I had no problem with the SmackDown show. It was good. The matches that led up to the qualifiers were all good, but for the most part. But that, I just don't really know what any of it's leading to.
Now here's Team Raw, Spug, and we'll let you get your point in on both in a second here. Team Raw is Ron Killings, who due to legal issues couldn't enter Canada. Sorry, Ron. John Morrison, Sheamus, CM Punk, Santino Marella, Captain The Miz, and the returning Ezekiel Jackson. Yeah, guys, he came back after being injured around WrestleMania last year and made his surprise appearance during the event, which we'll talk about in a second. But this year's Team Raw looked pretty interesting. They did a rundown of the ring and the pull-apart type thing. But your thoughts on Miz being the captain of this squad and the overall Team Raw?
I hate The Miz. I do. I'm not going to lie. I think he's one of those individuals that I wouldn't pee on his teeth if his mouth was on fire. I've never been a fan of his, ever. And he still comes and hangs out around in Parma from every now and then. And he is an arrogant douche. He really is. But the Ezekiel Jackson thing, I didn't know who it was. And I flicked on Raw and I saw him. I'm like, oh, he's a big boy. I've never seen anybody who can almost stare Big Show in the eye
and go, hey, I'm not going to be in line for Knucklehead, dude, but cool. And yeah, for who was watching Raw and wanted to know who the little short kid was that was involved with Miz backstage and then came to the ring, yeah, he's in the direct-to-video movie, or actually, I guess, doing a 2-day appearance in theaters for Fathom Events. Yippee. Monday Night Raw featured Peanut Head himself, Teddy Long, invading, arguing with a laptop again, for God's sakes, get a real GM, and then brought out Team SmackDown. We had a pull apart, and then Teddy Long commits first degree theft, walking off of the laptop. I'm surprised Michael Cole didn't call the lawyer for the Nation of Domination from back in the day and get involved here. You've got the Hart Dynasty, looks like we're imploding these kids. Why take your number one tag team? Oh, God, Clarence Mason, that's the dude's name. Thanks, Sir Rockin'. But it's another story of why you're taking your number one tag team and throwing them apart. That's right, because you don't have any other tag teams. Your tag team champions are Dashing Cody and Drew, who were pretty good single by themselves. But, hey, creative, I got nothing else to do, so we'll stick them here. The other matches on this show saw Goldust and his gold-digging girlfriend, Oksana, take out Zack Ryder and what it seemed like to be, hey, look, there's a match going on. Hey, the match is over, but we could have Maurice and Teddy come out. Randy Orton and Cena defeat Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy. God, those names still stink.
Wade Barrett gets involved, Orton gets destroyed, Vicky Guerrero and Dolph Ziggler set up what could be an interesting pay-per-view match, and we'll go to that for a second. Now, I don't think this was announced as title for title, and Sir Rockin can correct me if we can, because he's got like 45 websites up on his computer at the same time. Intercontinental Champion Dolph Ziggler, guys, is going to take on Michael Cole's least favorite wrestler in Daniel Bryan, who, I'm sorry, he's Bryan Danielson, he's American Dragon, just deal with it, kids. I don't know your overall thoughts on this match, Phil. Let's hear them. Are you fine with this as a pay-per-view match, or is this too soon to have these two champs even anywhere close to each other, if you're doing the unification thing at WrestleMania?
Yeah, as I said, you know, the bragging rights, I was racking my brain and trying to remember what they did last year, but I think it was all interpromotional matches, and then the 7-on-7 was like the big finale or whatever, so I was kind of wondering if there was going to be anything else, and, well, neither of those guys are doing anything else, and one thing I wrote on my blog a couple of weeks ago was that, you know, I like Dolph Ziggler, and I think he's a good worker, but he always wrestles the same guys every week. I feel like I've seen him against Kofi Kingston about a million times. I feel like I've seen him in MVP about 2 million times. And at least with, you know, Bryan Danielson, it's somebody he hasn't really wrestled before. And, you know, with his amateur background and Danielson's style, it might actually be a pretty fun match. It might end up being his best match to date in the company. And I thought it was kind of an interesting... What the heck was that at the end of the match with Danielson? At least it got me laughing. I have no idea what that was supposed to be, but yeah, it was interesting.
An audition for Soul Train, if you ever saw one. If you don't know what Soul Train is, kids, check out VH1 Classic. They've been running the hippest train in America. It's a documentary about it. Look them up online. Your overall thoughts on this idea of putting the champ versus champ in a non-title situation? Bug.
I'm not a fan. I'd like to see him unify it. Just do it. Get it over with.
The other champion, there's two champions, there's a bunch of championships on this show. These guys are not putting belts up on the line. The annoyance that is Lay Cool is going to take on Natty Neidhart again. Dear Lord, Natty, I'll give you a dollar if you knock these two into the next millennium. As mentioned by the Spug guy, World Heavyweight Champion Kane versus Undertaker buried alive.
I like that match.
We possibly may see Paul Bearer in some concrete shoes again. Who knows? The other announced match is WWE Champion Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett with John Cena in his corner. We've had opinions on this show from Mace and Spug and Tim Stein and Sorokin on this topic, Phil. So we're going to get your opinion on it. We forecasted that these are the next few WWE pay-per-views. You've got Bragging Rights this Sunday. Survivor Series is November 21st in Miami. There's TLC, which used to be Armageddon, December 19th. Royal Rumble is the 30th in January. Elimination Chamber is February 20th. Of those pay-per-views, or even this Sunday, when is John Cena finally going to don the Nexus shirt and become a full-fledged heel, in your opinion? Pick a pay-per-view.
Well, I was kind of surprised that he doesn't have the shirt and stuff on already, but it's definitely slowly building because, you know, the cool thing about this angle is he's going to continue to do things that are going to annoy the fans. And as that goes on, he's going to get booed more, even though he's going to be playing the conflicted babyface stuff. He's basically playing Virgil versus Wade Barrett's Ted DiBiase, essentially. And just, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure if you're going to ever get him, you know, in the full Nexus gear and that kind of stuff, but, you know, I don't really know where they're going to go with this. I'm guessing it's eventually going to lead to Cena against Barrett in some big blow-off match several months down the line. But, it's kind of, at least it's different. It's creative. And, you know, fans can't totally turn on Cena for the ones that want to buy his merchandise because he's still wearing it all, which might have more to do with it than anything else because they want to keep selling that stuff because it's a sense enough to. If I had to pick a moment, let's see, if he's going to... it doesn't even drag on for a while, I think. So I would say all the way to the Rumble or something.
Okay. Speaking of creative, he's back, kids. That's right. Sarah Michelle Gellar is back on the creative writing team. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get Abby Freddie Prinze Jr. The Hollywood actor has rejoined the creative team after he left several months to do Fox TV's 24. He will be working again as a producer and a director on WWE TV shows. Either one of you got a problem with this? Or, yay, whatever, Freddie's getting more money.
I never had a problem with Freddie Prinze.
He was one of the best guest hosts they ever had, because at least he actually knew what the product was. You know, he didn't have to screw up a name because he actually worked there.
He didn't look as bad as Piven did or anybody else.
Piven.
The guy's a lifelong fan. You know, he enjoys being part of it. And it's amazing to me that somebody even that form of entertainment wants to be part of WWE. I guess he's standing up for WWE, you could say. And hey, more power to him if he wants to do it.
Now this is something go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. Speaking of standing up. Stand up WWE. Can someone explain to me what that is?
It looked like it was a political promotion about, look how great we are and how different we are from TNA. We're PG rated. And as soon as Linda doesn't win, we're going back to hardcore, brother. You deal with folks on a day to day basis in the media, Phil. And you see these articles about Linda. Ballpark this. Give her odds on actually beating Blumenthal in the Senate race. Do you really think she's got a legit shot?
I think she's got a legit shot. I haven't seen any polls lately, but, she wasn't that far off, a couple months ago, I know that. But, I don't know what they're doing with this. With this whole campaign now, I guess they did give me a video of a bunch of their employees saying how wonderful it is to work in WWE. And, the people who like working there are going to like working there, and you're never going to get anybody who's not there to say that they did. So I don't know why they're doing so much damage control on the McMahon campaign. The people that are going to treat them unfairly are going to treat them unfairly, and there's nothing you can do with those people to change their minds on what pro wrestling is and what kind of an audience it draws. The stupid thing about it for me is that they're just assuming that all wrestling fans are morons, so they figure, she's involved with all this wrestling stuff. It's like, a lot of wrestling fans vote. So that's maybe not the greatest tack to take if you're, an anti-Linda McMahon person in the state of Connecticut. Because, people actually do watch pro wrestling, obviously. And it draws thousands of people with millions of viewers every week. So I don't think that's going to be a negative for people. I think they just want to hear about the issues.
As we mentioned, this is on Willow Wrestling Radio. We are brought by the Wild Talk Radio Network. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us here on the show if you wish to at any point. We have a chat room you can join us in as well. The same folks that brought you Brett Favre's crotch, Deadline.com, reported that, and I can't believe I'm about to read this, the USA Network is close to ordering its first unscripted, somewhat, series in 5 years, and it's none other than the return of WWE's Tough Enough. Yes, the show that originally ran on 3 seasons for MTV, that gave the world John Morrison, that showed Kenny King, Jackie Gata Haas, and the atrocity that is Linda Miles, looks like it may be coming back to TV. As fans may remember, the 4th season of Tough Enough really wasn't a season because it was involved with part of SmackDown, which was won by Daniel Pewter, but the Crickets play. On that group, yeah, that guy, The Miz, is back. Spug, the stories that have gone on for years, especially since his appearance in season 1 of Tough Enough, I believe it was the first or second episode that they were actually in, tracks in Stamford and Connecticut. If you don't own the DVD stuff, you can probably find it on YouTube or some torrent site. Triple H came out and did a great old speech about the business of the folks. Many people, and this is probably where you can defend your man crush, claimed that him and William Regal were one of the reasons this show even went under to begin with, because they felt it exposed the business too much. As someone who's been in the business somewhat, and now at MMA, and following that stuff as closely as you do, and we'll talk about that show in a little while, your thoughts on this idea of bringing back Tough Enough? I mean, they basically kind of did it as a scripted thing with this NXT, man.
I don't want them to bring back Tough Enough, to be quite honest with you. And I think my man crush is absolutely right, so is William Regal. I do. I 100% think he was right. Part of the reason of why the state of wrestling is what it is today is because of a show like Tough Enough that pulled the curtain back, and any Tom, Dick, and Harry in their backyard with a couple of queen-size mattresses went, oh, we could do that. You know?
I
would prefer it if you had to go the route of a Triple H, of a Foley, of a Hogan, where you got a bone broken to see if you were going to come back after it healed. You know?
And thanks to Hiro Matsuda for that lovely story.
I'm serious. As much as things change and it's good in some ways, it's also extremely bad for the business. I really do.
And you deal with media folks all the time at your paper, the Poughkeepsie Journal, Phil, and you have TV folks to probably cover that aspect of stuff. But as a wrestling fan and someone who's in the media, your thoughts, we're outsiders, so we kind of understand what Spug is saying, but do you share Spug's sentiment at all?
I don't really need to, and I enjoyed Tough Enough when it was on. It was actually a good show. I specifically enjoyed the season when, John Hannigan and Matt Capitelli won. I thought that was actually a very, very good television show. That said, take a look at the track record of the people who have won Tough Enough. There's actually, out of the seven people who have won Tough Enough, only one of them is still actively in the wrestling business. That's John Morris. Maven is out. Nitty is out. Ada is out. Linda Miles is out. Matt Capitelli is out. And Daniel Pewter is out. So six out of the seven people who have won Tough Enough aren't even in wrestling anymore, and that's been in the last 10 years.
Hold on.
There's been a lot of people.
Go ahead.
He said Matt Capitelli, and I have to defend him. The dude is not out of the wrestling business by his own volition.
Oh, of course.
He did win, and he's not wrestling, and he's not a part of it anymore. So, you know, everybody had different reasons why they're in or out.
But this is also a show that did give, as I said, Kenny King has been a guest on the show, came out of this product. If you look early on in the audition stuff, you're going to see in New York the first thing, you're going to see a current diva, and that would be Melina Perez was involved there, too.
Yep. And Matt Morgan, I believe, was in two.
Yeah, he was in two and had his knee get shattered out of the stuff. And Kevin Matthews, who's a Northeast wrestler, still shows up from time to time.
Mitchell, Ryan Reeves, you know, there are a lot of people who try to get through it. I just don't think it's necessarily the right thing for business right now. It's just, it always struck me as it was just rushing people onto the TV before they were ready. At least with NXT, we have some guys with a little bit of seasoning that we're putting on TV. In some cases, they're not particularly ready either. But with this, it was just mostly people who didn't even have any wrestling experience, not until the last, I guess until the fourth Tough Enough, the $1 million one on SmackDown, did they really reach out and try to find people with a little bit of wrestling experience. I don't know what they're going for here. I don't know, I liked aspects of NXT, but I don't really like NXT. And I liked aspects of Tough Enough, but I didn't really like that much either.
And if you've been watching current WWE TV and you're going, dude, I really miss the great Khali. Where the hell did he go? I'm going to tell you. He's actually on an Indian version of the reality series Big Brother called Big Boss. Now, due to his size, Khali is being provided with a special bed and other things to adjust in the house, according to the New Delhi Chronicle. quote, people have seen him fight. Now they will see a vulnerable side to him. We hope he wins, says Andrew Whitaker, executive VP of WWE International. Kali entered the house on day 13, which was this past Saturday in India, and one of the other participants recognized who he was as Kali entered the house breaking through a fake wall. Interesting thing to do with one of your very large folks there. But you know, he comes from an acting background. His fans don't remember it. Find the Longest Yard remake on your local TV show and you'll see him. But another question, of course, Bug, is will we see another Maria Kanellis and see Kali fired before he finishes the show?
I don't know. She was on what? Was it?
She was on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, The Apprentice.
Yeah, and got endeavored midway through.
I don't know. I would hope not. I mean, for as much fun as we make, for as much fun as we poke at Kali, he's good for entertainment from time to time. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I would hope that he wouldn't get fired.
Your thoughts on Kali doing this? Should WWE TV be pubbing this? I mean, they might do a lot better than TNA with their publicity, so.
Well, I don't know. Does it? They might be doing it in India. I know that's the one reason why he's had such great staying power in WWE is that that's a market that they need a big star in, and he you know he can speak the language and he can relate to their audience. One thing I hope when he crashed through the fake wall that he didn't trip like the Shockmaster several years ago on a flare for gold. Wow.
He's okay, really, believe me.
It can't be bad as long as, you know, he probably went through all the proper channels to get it approved and everything like that. And I want to see some footage of this. You know, where can we find Kali on Big Brother? It's just a ridiculous concept.
And
where's Lionel?
Yeah, I don't know. He's one of the TV writers from what we heard back in the day. That's how he got it. If you heard a fist pounding on a table, that was me saying, my Yankees are now losing 5-3. Yeah, not happy about that either. Before we go to break, any interesting interviews in the work for the Under the Ring column that you want to tease, Phil?
I've just had a bunch over the last couple of weeks. None immediately right now. If you go back, you know, the last couple of weeks, we had George Animal Steel, we got back to Jim Duggan, we had Dolph Ziggler, we had Christopher Daniels. There's supposed to be some local shows coming up probably the next month and a half. So when those come around, I'll start figuring out who could be appearing locally and see what I can do. I think there should be a show in Poughkeepsie probably in December for the local indie here, Northeast Wrestling, and I'm not really sure who's going to be appearing on it yet, but they usually get some pretty big names. And if they're running the Mid-Pacific Center, it's a big enough arena where they're going to try to get some, probably some pretty big names in there to, you know, fill it up.
All right. He is Phil Strom, PoughkeepsieJournal.com. The blog is called Under the Ring. Phil also does some writing for the sports teams in the area. There's a couple other neat items you can do. You can find him on Facebook. Coming up after the break, we are going to get into the growing concept of iPay-per-views. Bug will stay with us to bring that up. Mal and Wojcik on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after this break.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come with them to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's look away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage,
Brett Derry, Candice McDowell,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Booker Wickerman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the ex-Corps Soldier Subway inviting you to take part in CB Radio's Spooktober celebration. As all month long, we will be talking about your favorite Halloween movies, songs, and stories live on the air. And we want you to be a part of the festivities. Interact with us by sending us an email to rockinshop@wildtalkradio.com or logging on to facebook.com/rockin. And tell us your favorite stories, movies, songs, or joke. Or if you're feeling brave enough, call in live and leave us a voicemail by dialing up the WTR toll-free line at 1-877-588-9877, option 2. Or call us and join us live if you air it on the radio. Interact with us all month long for CB Radio's Spooktober celebration right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I spent more of space and time again. God damn, casting magic missile.
I like to sing with the radio. I like to play it real loud.
Welcome back to the remaining moments of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Click Wrestle, where you can find all the on-demand wrestling you want. Go to clickwrestle.com. Underground Radio sponsors are 888-800 number, which is 877-588-9877. Thanks again to Phil Strum and Kevin K. Scott. They are available through PoughkeepsieJournal.com. The blog is called Under the Ring. Really well done stuff, and we're very happy to have them along with us for the ride. The Slug Guy from Wrestle Talk Radio and Otaku Talk Live has stayed with us here through the duration of the show as he enjoys my Yankees losing 5-3. Damn the man.
Go Rangers!
He is here for a couple more reasons as well. One is to give a prediction on this weekend's ultimate fighting event. And we bring it up because the current heavyweight champion is, that's right, the next big thing. Or as Taz used to say, here comes the pain. That's right, Brock Lesnar has another title defense against somebody. I have no idea who it is, and I've died.
Cain Velasquez.
Okay, rate this fight for fans like me who don't watch UFC on a regular basis. Is this Brock's last stand?
No, you need to watch this fight. You need to watch this fight because I tell you what, when I used to laugh when he was, you know, baby faced and real short hair, we used to call him the meanest kindergartner on the playground.
That would be the opponent to Lesnar, right? Or are
no,
we talking about Brock?
Talking about Brock.
Okay.
Taz saying here comes the pain is very apropos. Have you ever seen Lesnar fight?
Yeah, I think I saw him take out Frank Mir, is maybe the guy's name.
Oh, Mir, he saw, that was a long time ago.
I think I may have seen bits and pieces. Did he fight Couture, and he took out Couture in a heavyweight match?
That was when he won the title, and that was almost a year ago.
And that was when he played heel and flicked turned into a wrestling heel, and Dana White nearly bitch-slapped him on national pay-per-view.
I'll tell you what, rate
this one for us.
It's an A all the way because Kane hits just as hard as Lesnar does. I don't think his ground skills are where Lesnar's are, but I tell you what, dude, if those two stand up and just slug it out, it'll be a great fight either way. But I'll be watching it Saturday night. You should come watch it with me.
We'll see. My father-in-law's birthday happens to be that weekend. So we'll see if I'm allowed a hall pass later on in the evening. The other thing that's going on in the next few weekends is the emergence of a website called GoFightLive.tv. Now, we've mentioned over the last couple of weeks that our friends over at Women's Superstars Uncensored, who will possibly be having some folks from them in the next coming weeks, we love the women of that network, of that product. They're debuting on November 6th on iPay-Per-View. They're doing, as mentioned, two separate pay-per-view events. The first one will air live, and the second one will air at a later date. They're going to be on at 5:30 p.m. through that website. Dragon Gate USA, Lenny Leonard, a friend of the network, does their commentary on this whenever the 22nd is, Friday? I have a calendar somewhere on my brain. They're going to have an Enter the Dragon event live at 9 o'clock. And then on the 29th, which is a Friday, you're also going to see Dragon Gate Bushido, Code of the Warrior. Both of those events. The first event, the Enter the Dragon one, is free. And the Bushido event is $14.99. And it also looks like we had Joey Machete on a while back. He is the owner and promoter for Pro Wrestling Fusion, which is an NWA affiliate here in Florida. And they've entered into this fray. Their event on November 6th at the Fort Pierce PAL Center, which features Wardell Walker, Kazuchika Okada, and others. Just go to ProWrestlingFusion.com. They're also going to be doing an event on November 6th at 8 p.m. for $9.99. Now, if you go to this website, guys, and Rock will post
the link in the chat room, which is gofilive.tv, you'll see that there's not a weekend that there's not something going on here. I mean, they had Glory by Honor 9 back a couple months ago. And you've also got, it looks like on this site, you've got a lot of boxing, Ring of Combat, Tough Enough fighting. This seems to be, Spug, the way of the world now. Why leave your house? Why go to a cable box when I can do it for half the price at $9.99 and sit in my bedroom and watch it? Your thoughts on this whole iPay-per-view concept?
Well, didn't WWE used to dish out pay-per-views on their website a long time ago? And they did it for half the price of what you had to pay on a cable box?
I think they're still doing some rights. I don't know if Sorokin's got that handy somewhere. Damn, Texas is now up 6-3. I'm going to go cry in a corner.
Good.
Continue.
Good. Sir.
Yeah, apparently they do stream on the .com. And TNA, I think, was supposed to do it for Bound for Glory and then had a problem with their stream. I think the folks in overseas, for $44.95? Holy cow, I'm going to go find my voice because I just blew it out screaming there. But, no, they're not WWE events, they're not TNA events, but they're still, I've been to Pro Wrestling Fusion events, and we wish their current champion's name is Tommy Taylor. He is a former developmental star at WWE. He's a part of a tag team called the British Lions. And due to some injuries and personal stuff, Tommy's actually going to leave the business and possibly have to surrender that championship. I'm not sure if he's going to defend it on November 6th, but no, we wish Tommy the best. But continue your point with this concept of
I like
pay-per-view.
I like it. And I think because there are individuals around the world who may or may not be American, who don't get to watch cable television to see some of the stuff. So I think the internet TV is the way to go if you want to market to somebody. Because on the list of approved items to send over to Iraq and Afghanistan are laptop computers. You can send those over to the troops. It's one of the approved items. Well, they can't, you're not going to send them a flat screen TV, and satellite's only available in certain spots. You get a Wi-Fi card, you can get the internet anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and all you need is a PayPal account, it looks like. A Google or PayPal order number, and away you go, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or an e-check, I think they did. According to their site, e-checks take 3 to 5 days to clear, so they're not a good way to purchase unless you buy well in advance of the event. So, and it's the wave of the future, possibly. You may end up seeing mainstream film companies go this route. You don't want to go to your AMC or Regal or Cinemark or whoever it is. Cough up $30 and you get to see Harry Potter 7 instead of schlepping to the theater.
I don't go to the theater, to be quite honest. I will wait till a movie comes out to rent it. Last time the wife and I went to the theater for two people, and we go see, Iron Man 2. For
mm-hmm.
two people to go see Iron Man 2, $28.
Good lord.
I was like, forget that. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, going to see The Social Network tomorrow. Very intrigued to see the backstories and whatnot on there. As I mentioned, this if you go to this site, it looks like everything and anything you want is here. Kind of like our site, which is WrestleTalkRadio.com, and we're not gonna charge you $15-$20 to listen to this show or any other show. But they do give, it looks like, a daily listing. of stuff. It looks like there was a Gleason's gym cam. An MMA thing was here. Some other wrestling stuff was here. So, good luck for them. Hopefully, all the promotions we mentioned will go there, check them out. Definitely check out ASW Chain Reaction, which, yes, I did another one. Yes, Darren Epic nearly choked the life out of me. Yes, Eric Cooper and Eddie Torres nearly threw me into a closet, but hey, it's all in fun. ASWFlorida.com for that one. And as we mentioned, this is a very large network. We have a lot of great shows on it. You mentioned tomorrow night you will not be around. However, the Omega and will Mace be making an appearance, we believe, Sir Rockin? Do we know if the Mace is making it? He better be. Definitely check that out. He does also have a really cool blog. Everybody's got a blog. I think my 2-year-old Abby's got a blog. It's called Bashing the Books. It's available on the site. Oh, podcast. I'm sorry. Blog. Audio blog, basically, would be, I guess, the term for it. And he takes it in a different spin than what he does on the OTL show. Looks like the one and only Cindy Sin will be back this Thursday night with Anything Goes, according to her tag team partner in crime, Sir Rockin. Definitely check her out, I believe, 11-ish, somewhere around there, whenever Cindy says, hey, turn on the mic, let's go. Friday on this network, 6 o'clock, is, I believe, Running the Ropes. They still exist. With the Mav and the Nick. Mav is back from his endeavors. The TD Top 20 Countdown, I believe, is on this Saturday. Is that what time is that at? Is that at 7, 8? It's 9. I apologize. My computer shut down the chat that I was in. And if you hear sirens in the background, yes, they're coming for me now. They're coming for you, Barbara, yes. This Saturday, CB Radio does return after last week's almost 4-hour episode. Good Lord. And as you heard in our commercial with the Subway Man, we love Subway, this week Halloween trivia and more as October month continues. And as mentioned during this event, this Sunday, 11 p.m., after Bragging Rights, the end-all, be-all, Omega, the real voice of everything, Bug Guy, Mace, maybe Will, maybe me, yes, we'll be here. And Sorokin chiming in possibly, Tim Stein chiming in possibly. We'll be here to talk. Wrestle Talk Radio. Oh, that's right. Will did make it last week, but Spug and Omega didn't. Shame on all of you. The Hockey Show will return during the month of November. It's more a matter of, not that we don't want to talk hockey. We love hockey, but it's a matter of getting Tim and I on the same page at the same time due to my training for my new full-time job with Aflac. Yes, love the duck. We'll be able to do this endeavor as always on Tuesday nights. Thanks to the Spud Guy for joining us. Thanks to Kevin and Phil from the Kitsy Journal. Thanks to the greatest Irish band in the world, U2, for bringing us the music tonight. We are podcast on iTunes, we're podcast on Click Wrestle, we're podcast here on Wild Talk Radio. Thanks to the big bosses, Jason Dedrich and Brad Dykens, for giving me the voice to talk here. And we got a couple guests in the works for next week, but we're not going to ruin anything. And have a great weekend. Get out, watch some indie wrestling if you get a chance in your neighborhood. Support the boys and girls out there. And have a good night.